Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Business with Susan Hayes-Cullerton in for Joe Lynham today. Well, coming up on the show this morning, we will be talking about the future of work, a 200 job announcement in Dundalk and all of what's happening in the markets, particularly processing a lot of what has happened over the weekend. Now, let's start off with what's in the news today. Naturally enough, as you heard Shane say, all of the newspapers lead with what's going on in Iran. First up, the Irish Times note that the death toll rises as Israel and the US continue air attacks and Iran fires hundreds of missiles. And then the Independent goes on to say there are currently no plans to evacuate up to 20,000 Irish citizens stranded in the Middle East as airports in Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Doha remain closed. I know many of you listening to us this morning have loved ones abroad, so we are watching that story closely. Now, Minister Helen McIntyre is appealing to people to register with the Department of Foreign Affairs so that it can get an accurate picture of how many Irish citizens are working, are resident or are on holiday. Now, when we look at the impact of what has happened over the weekend, particularly the jump in the oil price, we've seen around about a 13% increase in the price of Brent crude oil. Now, Professor Aoife Foley, and this is reported in The Independent as well, she is predicting that prices of petrol in Ireland could rise by 70 cent a litre. And that would be in the case of a severe spike. She points out that a 1,000 litre refill of heating oil could increase from 997 to an estimated 1,950 euro. And she also has details there on electricity prices, etc. Now, she does point out that Irish households would likely feel a larger percentage impact because of higher VAT, a smaller and more import exposed system, and the euro exposure to dollar-priced fuels. We are going to talk more about what's going on in the markets later on in the show today, but I just wanted to set that scene from The Independent. And then also, the Financial Times is reporting that Israel has begun striking Hezbollah targets across the Lebanon. What Bloomberg then picks up on is Asian markets initially saw big moves as the market absorbed the news. Gold rose and has now notched up around about a 13.9% gain in the past 30 days. The dollar has also strengthened, and that is because huge amounts of money are now moving into safe haven assets. 1 euro is now valued at 1.18. Now, there has been some twists and turns in the communications from senior political leaders. President Trump told the New York Times that he is open to dropping sanctions if Iran's new leader is pragmatic. But then he went on to tell ABC that his favourite choices have all died in the attacks. The Wall Street Journal said Iran made a fresh push for talks, but the National Security Chief subsequently said on X that the country will not negotiate with the US. So again, a very, very changing situation there. Different angles coming from different environments. And then finally, in other news around the country, today marks the start of Local Enterprise Week. Events are taking place right around the country and they're focusing on every area of business, drawing on insights from people who've walked the walk, the Leo support suite and networking in local communities. However, we're going to move from the present to the future now. Future Work World is the new book from Barry Winkless, CPL's Executive Strategy Advisor and Head of Future of Work Institute. And in it, he discusses the new kinds of workers and workplaces, from AI to creating a hero journey for staff. And he joins us now. First of all, Barry, we talk a lot today about the role of agentic AI in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, how do AI agents change the very nature of teamwork and task ownership?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think fundamentally we have to start thinking about AI agents as part of the team. So in other words, we used to think about, you know, people plus simple machines. Now it's easier to think about it as people plus technology teammates, for all intents and purposes. And that would give us all sorts of advantages in terms of efficiency, expansion, you know, all sorts of new ideas, new creative concepts.
And Barry, do you think then that human resources is going to have to change its name and its mindset, in fact, to simply resources?
I would say more it has to change its name to human expansion as opposed to human resources, because I think the big opportunity of our age is to get the most out of people and machines. At the moment, we run the risk maybe of having a detrimental effect on us as human beings using too much technology. So I think the key phrase for me is going to be around human expansion.
And if we look at the way in which that you've written the book, you do say that you've next level storytelling that refers to immersive storytelling approaches from areas like theatre, TV and theme parks. What do those three disciplines teach us about business?
It really teaches us that fundamentally business is around creating experiences that should excite and entice people. So actually in the book, I utilise those storytelling principles and take people on journeys of 9 trips into the future of work and really make it real for them. I think one of the challenges we have as individuals is being able to visualise what that future work is actually going to look and feel like, and to be able to play with it to understand what it's going to mean to us individually and to the organisations that we work in as well.
So with those 9 trips into the future, could you take us on one of them and give us an example, please?
I'll give you the scary one.
That would suit this morning. Just what we need.
Yeah, exactly. On such a morning. No, I think one of them is this idea of D teams, I call it, which are disposable teams. So the idea of individuals globally coming together using similar project tools to deliver short projects from a week to 2 weeks for a large organization. So bringing this idea of a brain trust together, deep expertise, delivering really cool projects and then breaking away again. So this idea of disposable teams is going to be an important aspect around the future of work, particularly when we think about the European context, and around 15 to 18% of us are working for ourselves, you know, as freelancers and contractors. So that's one example of that jump into the future. And it's not too far away, to be quite honest.
Well, I think many of the trips into the future, when we look at the world of work, often feel very close at hand, or at least we get some semblances of those, probably in smaller companies who can move more quickly. Something you've pointed out repeatedly in the book is you've said flexibility has shifted from a benefit to a basic need. And what signals are you seeing that would most clearly show that shift?
Well, if you look at our most recent research, and this is research done through the Future Work Institute, in an Irish context first, around 70% of us are availing of some type of flexible piece of work. The research is really interesting. It's also showed us that a lot of people now are putting a form of flexible working, whether that's hybrid or other types of flexible working, up there with remuneration, right? And that's what I mean by this idea of a basic need. A lot of people are now actually seeing things like flexible working as part of their package, as opposed to something that's, you know, really nice to have.
And within the flexibility then, of course, we're not just talking about whether they can work from home or not. Mm. You broaden that out a lot.
Yeah.
So how should organisations decide which work types that belong in, say, a physical and a digital and even a virtual realm?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think first and foremost, I think you need to start thinking about flexibility as a design characteristic of your organisation. Right, it's a tool that enables you to get and to keep people.
Flexibility is a tool.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and I think we need to move away from, you know, big statements around return to work mandates, this, that and the other. It's a tool that can be designed properly or it's a tool that can be designed improperly. And I think our opportunity is to utilise that perfect mix of physical, digital and virtual to really create these seamless ways of working, regardless of where you are.
When you say perfect mix, how does one know? Because it could be perfect for me as an employer, but maybe not necessarily for my employees.
Yeah, I think it's to get that balance right between really what your employees really value and then what's really important to you as an organisation that is productive, right? And I do think we are starting to see that golden mean of, you know, everybody's talking about this 3-2 or 2-3 split in terms of hybrid. That definitely seems to be the area that we're focused on. But the other interesting thing, I think, Susan, is also we're starting to see organisations offer new and innovative types of flexibility as well. You know, so it might be flexible Fridays or, you know, reduced hours. And some organisations are obviously starting to trial things like, you know, 4-day weeks and this kind of thing. So you're starting to see levels of innovation around what I keep calling a tool. It's a design characteristic, right? You know, like everything else that we have within a workplace to attract and keep people.
Barry, I'm sure there's some listeners listening today saying, you know, I have a lot to do. Maybe it might be product development, bringing in sales, managing cash flow. Mm. And now I have to design like emotionally rich career journeys for every member of staff. Is it a lot to ask?
It is. You know what? I think it doesn't have to be complicated. I think the first thing you need to do is realize that you're actually creating an experience. Right. And creating experience isn't actually any harder than just creating something simple. Right. So you can use certain tools and ways to think about the career journey. I think the career journey is changing. So I actually think that we ourselves as individuals are heroes in our own career journey now. And we're only part, you know, so a company is only part of our journey, not the other way around.
Well, Barry, we wish you the very best of luck with your book, Future Work World. Thank you so much for joining me. Barry Winkless, CPL's Executive Strategy Advisor and Head of Future of Work Institute.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk
with Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.